Business as mission, Christian business. What are these phrases? If you're like me and you've got a small business and you're a Christian, you don't necessarily have a, well, I have both. I have ministry that I do with books to sell, but I also have my regular business, Christian business. Some people think it's the Christian bookstore, but really it's much, much more than that. And you don't have to be selling Jesus stuff in order to be a Christian in business. But what is this business as mission phrase that we have been learning about? My guest today is Mike Bayer. He is an author. He is a teacher. He is a preacher. He does it all. I think he probably plays a bit of music too. I don't know about that one, but maybe he does. I wouldn't be surprised.
Not well.
And Mike Bayer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Trish. I've been looking forward to this for some time, so I really appreciate the invitation.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you on. Now, I met Mike in 2011 at a Christian business conference to talk about business as mission. And that was only, it was less than 2 years after I had come home from prison. And I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know who I was, which way was up. I just knew that God had impressed upon me to share what I had learned with people and both the business world and ministry. And I had no idea where to even start. And so that conference, and particularly Mike, you in that conference, it was like you just gave me some direction and some encouragement. And that meant the world to me. And who would have guessed that 10 years later, what's happened in my world because of that encouragement and other people's encouragement along the way. But with the right understanding, you can take your business and your ministry, and your business is ministry, by the way, so much further. It's great to be networked. So, Mike, tell us a bit about your background and then into what BAM, Business's Mission, is.
Okay. Well, thanks, Trish. Again, I'll share my story a little bit, not because I necessarily want to tell the story, but it's actually my journey from a very divided view of life, sacred, secular, church, work, to an integrated view. And that's really what BAM is. Business's Mission is really simply the recognition that Jesus is as much Lord of business as he is Lord of the church. And to stop this religious game we play of saying this building is holy, this building is not, this calling is holy, this calling is not, and getting away from all of that and recognizing that, as Abraham Kuyper said back when he was prime minister of Holland, there is not one square inch of creation over which Jesus does not declare mine. And that's just a beautiful way of looking at life and realizing that we've been, frankly, I'll go out and say, I think we've been cheated, that the majority of Christians, and I'll come back to this later, but the majority of Christians believe their job is to give and listen and not to really actively serve Jesus in all the spheres of life. So that's
hold on. Wow. That, I just want to pause there because, you know, look, I'm a pastor's kid. I love church. I love pastors. I serve and help and support them. But I have picked up over the years, there has been that idea that business people in the church are just there to give and to get preached to and to be warned against being greedy while they are encouraged to give.
Yes, so, exactly.
Wow. So this is so much more than that.
Well, it's interesting. We have this tendency, and nobody ever teaches this, right? This is not something that a seminary taught or a pastor taught or a book teaches, but somehow globally. I mean, I've worked in 70 some odd countries, and it's literally everywhere. This is the way I describe it. If God really truly delights in you, he'll make you a missionary, right? If you're really special. If you're special, but not real special, he'll make you a pastor. If you're tolerable, if you're good in his mind, then you can take on one of the caring professions. You can be a doctor or a nurse or a teacher or something of that nature. And if he really kind of just puts up with you, then you can go into business. Right? And it's this hierarchy. And by the way, don't forget that below that are the lawyers. Okay. That's where the attorneys are. But it's this hierarchical view of your function makes you somehow closer to God. And I always ask people, how could you be closer to God than to have the Lord Jesus live in you in all of his fullness? You can't be closer. So, so my background of kind of how I migrated, I came to Christ when I was in university, and there were three or four other guys that we all came to Jesus about the same time. And we ended up starting a church together, but we didn't know that's what we were doing. We were on a secular university campus, and our great question was, okay, now that we're followers of Jesus, what do you do on Friday night? Right? I mean, as a lost guy, we all knew what to do. But now that we're saved, you know, what do you do? And so we said, well, we don't know, but let's get together, read the Bible, pray, and play cards. That's what we did. Well, pretty soon those four or five guys became, you know, 25 guys. And pretty soon it became 50 men and women. And ultimately, it was about 175 people who would meet every Friday night in order to, we stopped playing cards because it got too big. But we met to, you know, study the Bible, to pray, to minister to each other, to exercise our gifts. It was a beautiful experience. And looking back on that, I can tell you, we didn't try to start a church. We didn't know that's what we were doing, but we were disciples. And what disciples do is they just get together. And when disciples get together, that is the church. And so it was really exciting. What that did for me, Trish, is it set me up that the next stage of my life was to go into formal pastoral ministry.
Right.
So I ended up going, you know, to missionary training school. I ended up going to seminary and became a church planter in primarily the southeastern United States. But it was an interesting situation that while I was there, while I was in pastoral ministry, I kept running into this thing that I could not get close to lost people. It wasn't that I was unfriendly. It wasn't that I was afraid of them. They weren't afraid of me. But they would attribute my faith and my gospel message to my job. And so when I would be out in the world, right, to tell somebody about Jesus, they would say, well, of course you'd say that. That's your job. And it really bothered me. It just really ate at me. And I finally began to pray about it. I said, Lord, you know, I want to be, and I'm not an evangelist by any means, but I want to be among lost people. And I need you to help me figure that out. And he spoke very clearly. He says, I want you to become one of them. And I what? He said, I want you to become one of them. I said, you mean like a business person? He says, yeah. And, you know, I kept fighting. I didn't want to do this. Finally, he said, I want you to do what I did. I became human. I want you to become a business person. And so I did. I left the formal pastorate. I ended up going into business. And at first, it was just to be that faithful witness in the marketplace, which many of us, you know, are passionate about. And it was fantastic. I loved it for 10 years. After 15 years of pastoral experience, of 10 years in the marketplace, being sent all over the world by my clients and having the opportunity to share the gospel with people that would never darken the door of a church. So it was my answer to prayer, I thought. And I will tell one quick story because it's one of those markers on the journey. I remember I was in Saskatchewan, Canada, and the manager of the plant I was working with up there came to me after a class, and he said, you know, Mike, I want to have dinner tonight. And I said, well, okay, that's fine. You're the client. Why do you want to have dinner? And he said, because you know God and I don't.
Wow.
And, you know, I can't tell you, Trish, how many times that kind of situation occurred. God was just granting me the desires of my heart. And for me, that was enough. I mean, right? He had taken me from the formal pastorate, which I loved, into the business world to be a witness, which I loved. But there was this sort of nagging question in the back, and that was, how does this all fit together, right? How does the theological education, the pastoral ministerial experience, the giftings that go with Ephesians 4, how does that fit together with my career, my now business career? And the answer to that came when I was invited to go over to the former Soviet Republic of Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia. So it's right after the Soviet Union collapsed. And I was invited to go over there and teach at the State Medical Institute to, ironically, teach their medical students and physician students how to set up private practice, for-profit medical practices, because the Russians pulled out, took the social system with them. They had nothing.
Right.
All of that was fun. And I'll admit to you and anybody tuning in, I didn't go out of some great sense of spiritual calling. And, you know, even though I've been praying for the Soviet Union for over 20 years, I went mainly out of curiosity. I'll admit that. But when I got there, it was like that my eyes were fully open. I'd had one eye open in the pastorate, another eye opened in business, and now they were both open because I was able to see, and they didn't call it business as mission at the time, but I was able to see that as a openly Christian business guy, I was totally welcome in a Muslim country.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I wasn't a missionary, so I wasn't suspect.
Right.
They viewed all Americans as business people. And I was able to openly talk about being a follower of Isa, which is Arabic for Jesus. And it's hard to describe, but every door was open to me. I mean, the poorest villages brought me in. Government officials brought me in. I ended up becoming one of the founders of the American University in Kyrgyzstan. The co-founder with me, unbeliever, who said, you know, hey, are you a Christian? I said, well, I prefer to say follower of Jesus. She said, I knew you were. And so all of a sudden, this door swings open of being able not only to be a Christian in the business world, but to be a businessman in the mission world. And that's where this thought process began to come together of business as mission. We didn't coin that term until later, about 5 years later, but that's what we were doing. We were exploring the frontiers of going into closed countries, restricted access countries, being totally welcomed as open followers of Jesus who are doing business.
Wow.
And that, so that, and I tell that, Jeremy, to me, it's a great story because I really enjoyed the walk, but I tell that story because I think it helps illustrate, you know, this move from dichotomy, ministry versus business, from ministry to business into business as ministry. Now I call it business as mission. And it was that journey. It was not like I had some overnight revelation or I'm, you know, the smartest guy on the block, because I'm not, but God led me on that journey. And wonderfully, at the same time, he was beginning to lead, at that time, probably dozens of others around the world on a similar journey, so that we began to meet up and share our stories. And we would do that, you know, that you did. It's like, wait a minute, your story is my story. And he was leading us not to be anti-pastor. It was not to be anti-church or anti-ministry. It really was to say to the business people in the Christian world, get out of the chair, get out of the pew, you know, get one friend of mine put it this way, and I'll take a breather because I know you got things you want to say too, but
it's all right. You're
a friend
the
of mine once described football, American football, but it would apply to Aussie football as well, or as you would say, real football. he said, football is ministry is a lot like football. You've got 22 men on the field in desperate need of extra rest, and 85,000 people in the stadium in desperate need of exercise. Right. And what a beautiful illustration that we're all sitting in the pew needing to exercise our gifts. We have spiritual gifts. We have abilities. We have passion. We have experience. We have angles. We have perspective. And God is saying to us, get out of the stands, get on the field. And unfortunately, sometimes the system says, no, you have to become like us before you can get on the field. It's like, no, I don't either. And that's where business as mission as a worldwide movement really got its start.
Oh, I love that. And in church, what I've noticed is there's actually been a reduction in, and I don't mean my specific church, but generally, at least in Australia, and I do believe it's the same in America, that there's been a reduction in moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I know we have gifts in painting and we have gifts in hospitality and those things, but I mean the actual supernatural gifts of the Spirit that are a witness, that are evidence of God. And it, like, when I first got saved, which was in the mid-80s, it was just everywhere. And I was like, wow, this is God. And I was hungry to learn. But where do you learn? And our business people, not just our business people, all, everybody,
right,
need to. But as a business person, I'm hungry to be equipped. Now, I am an evangelist, so my job is to, my role, I should say, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So I help people learn how to reach others for Christ. The evangelist is not the person on a platform with a big crowd and, you know, whipping everyone into a frenzy and saying, you know, put your hand up for Jesus. There is that. But when you're equipping the church to do their job so that they can reach people, then it's not all on the pastor to do it when you drag someone to church. And that's what we need, is more equipping so that we can have the confidence to have a natural conversation out and about and lead people to Jesus.
Absolutely right. And that's the beauty of it. And when a person comes into the body, not a typical church service where they sit and I like to say they fellowship with the head of the back of the head of the person in front of them. But we're really living in the spirit. We're really living in the giftings. We're living in the body. That is a supernatural experience that cannot be denied. And that's when people, as Paul said, they fall down and say, you know, God is among you. Right. I mean, that's the church experience. And so having that rest on one man or one woman it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous to think that this paid person does it all.
No, and that's exactly right. And you can even get the impression that, you know, my pastor is so dynamic. If I can just invite this person to church, they'll do it for me, you know. But it is true that most people become Christians because, like, they might make a decision in a church, but usually they've already done it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Over coffee with a friend. And the friend has said, now that you've invited Jesus in, come along to church and start knitting in. And so that's what they do. And that's what's really important. And you are very right about, of course you are, because you know, God said to you, about you had to become one of them. And this is not a business example, but when I was in prison and I took Jesus with me, I was there and I made a decision. I was not going to be ashamed of the gospel because it was life or death. You know, you could get smashed and get taken out by someone who's got mental problems and anger issues and so on, and someone who blames God for their circumstances. They hate Christians, some of them. But what I found was, as lovely and wonderful as the visiting the volunteers, chaplains that would come in and, you know, prison fellowship and whatever.
Sure.
That was beautiful. But they left and I was there. And I had women say to me, Trish, you're talking to us about Jesus and you know, and you're here with us and you know what it's like. And there was so much power and influence because I was in there with them. You know, it's not like I was coming and saying, you need Jesus and then leaving.
Right.
And that's no disrespect to the chaplains because they're
they
were a lifeline and they cared, but it makes so much difference.
Well, it's it, right? I mean, you know, Jesus, one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us, not God comes to visit us and leaves. God is with us. And I think that's incarnational evangelism, incarnational discipleship. I've got to be where they are, just like you had to be where they were.
Yeah, it's just, we can have a lot of fancy words for it, but it's when you take that person's hand and you look into their face and you say, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry that's happened to you. And you care and you say, can I just pray for you for that situation to get better? And, you know, people, if you care and they feel it, you'll connect with them. I don't take any notice of this idea of, oh, the world hates us and it's us and them. It's like, forget, I don't take any notice of that because the person in front of me is what matters. And that's where business gets effective. And then if your character and your fruit is good and in business and you know you're going to do the right thing by people, they will bring you more business anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
true.
You have that influence. But if your ethics are dodgy and you're not the same, then forget it.
Well, so one good friend of mine who worked in China for many years, he defined business's mission this way. He said, let's not make it anything big. Let's just call it what it is. You have to know this guy to fully appreciate. He's kind of a folk humor, sort of, you know, folk wisdom. He said, it's just walking with Jesus in business. That's really all it is. And I think what we've done, and I think rightly in the world of business's mission, we really concentrate on two things. One is your character in the business world. And in my heart in particular, the use of business to go to the unreached people groups of the world. But it's just as valid in Brisbane or in Melbourne or in New York. I mean, what the world has always wanted to see is real Christianity.
Yes.
They don't want to see, you know, this guy with a big fat Bible on his desk or the fish sticker on the car. What they want to see is reality. I mean, even in my own life, the first person to actually share the gospel with me was a staff member for Campus Crusade for Christ. And he went through the four spiritual laws. He got to the end. He says, "Do you understand all that?" I said, "I do." He said, "It makes sense. It's total sense. Are you ready to commit your life to Christ?" "No." And he couldn't believe I said that. He said, "Why?" I said, "Because this means the end of me, right? If I give my life to Christ, I'm not my own anymore. This is everything." And then I immediately went to see a friend of mine that God had put in my life who had never witnessed to me, but I knew he was a believer. And I said, "Richard, I think this is right, but you tell, is this right?" And so it was the relationship that validated the gospel proclamation. And that's how I personally came to Christ.
Wow. That's just,
and I was one of those Thursday guys, by the way. I did it on Thursday. So.
Yep. Most of the airplanes, just wherever they are, it's just like, and over Zoom, I can lay hands on people through the Zoom. You can. It's great. Now, what I would like to do is show people your website, and you can tell us. So we've got we've got about 10 minutes to go. Okay. So in that time, I want to show. So this is your website, Third Path. Tell us about Third Path and what it's for.
Yeah, so Third Path is an online educational portal that provides the basic training courses, education, and other ancillary information on how to start and how to scale a kingdom company, a business's mission company. And what we mean by that is simply a company that's based on the sort of the four pillars. There's a calling, it's vocational, it's connected in some deliberate way to what God's doing in the world. That mean intentional. It values relationships. It sees people as the most important thing in business. And then finally, it's operated by, you know, to excellence. So that's what we created this to do. We actually started this in the summer of 2019. Long story as to why. We'd used to go overseas and do this in person, operating in 27 different countries, all volunteers, taking our time to go help people start businesses for Christ. Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, North Africa, Indonesia, places like that. But I felt led to do this in the summer of 2019, not knowing, obviously, that the pandemic was coming. So you couldn't go anyway. So Third Path offers people that are interested in starting or growing a business or learning more about what God has to say about business. It gives them a place to go. It's very accessible. It's very affordable, very actionable training and information. So that's, and we've now begun to move into new translations, which is a exciting thing. We have not only English, we have Spanish, we have Azerbaijani. We are working on Russian, and we're working on Portuguese at the moment. And so the idea really is for this to be a global portal for people to go learn about business and mission.
Fantastic. Third Path Initiative. I've got it running across the banner at the bottom. If you're listening on the podcast, it's Third, T-H-I-R-D, Path, as in footpath, thirdpathinitiative.com. And also you can Google Mike Baer. Mike is M-I-K-E-B-A-E-R if you are looking for him. So that's great. Now, I also want to show people your books because I have these. Well, I have this one, Business as Mission. So that's on Amazon. And I'm showing the American Amazon. So if you're Australian, you'll go to the .com.au. And the prices will be, they are the equivalent, but in Australian dollars. So, right. So you can find them here, Business's Mission. And you told me today about another book because people are not always business owners, but they're working in the business world.
Exactly. And
that is exciting. So you have got this book, 2IC.
Yes.
Business's Mission. For the rest of us, tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, so the fun part about that one, Trish, is when I was in Sydney doing the Create Conference, and it was a bit of a book tour. So I came up to Brisbane and spoke at a couple of colleges and went down to Melbourne and spoke at Ridley College. It was a, you know, kind of a classic book tour. But the one bit of feedback I got from the Australian audience, has never got it in the U.S., was they say, "Well, mate, this is the problem. You're writing this for people – that are CEOs and entrepreneurs. Most of us have bosses.
Yeah.
And it was just a different, you know, different business culture. And there's most of us, you know, are, they would say, and I didn't know the term, but I loved it. They said, most of us are 2IC, meaning second command.
Yeah.
So I took it on myself. I said, well, Lord, if 80% of my audience is telling me that like the other, but they need one for them, then I need to write that, but I can't write it until I've lived it. So I came back. I came back to the U.S. I took a job with one of my clients internally. Still kept my business on the side, but you know, really went inside because I wanted to prove: can you do business's mission? Can you have kingdom impact when you're not the boss? The American version is called "A Business's Mission When You're Not the Boss." This is the Australian original 2IC, and the answer, of course, is yes. Absolutely, you can. You can have profound impact. And so this book is a little bit of that story and a little bit of the principles I learned about Daniel and Joseph and, you know, other examples of men and women who were not the boss, but able to live out kingdom principles in the business world. So that was a fun one.
That would be a really good one, because one thing I do know is that if you are a Christian and you're working for a non-Christian boss, there can be some dilemmas that you may face. And we don't have to be all strange and weird about it and you know, get ourselves sacked. There are ways to be wise and be a witness.
That's
where
right.
You can actually win over people.
Daniel's a great example of that. I mean, he
ended up being a
senior advisor to two different or three different empires. So, you know, that we can do that. And it's so, yeah, that's what that's about. That's a fun one.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Really love that. That's great. Now, I also want to put in the chat. Let's see. I've got, so bye, darling. This is my daughter going to work. That's why Dash barked. She's just giving me a wave. You've got some links that are they the links to the books, are they? Yeah, you've got God at Work, Business's Mission. And I'll copy those across.
Yeah, so God at Work is daily devotions. Excuse me. And it's meant to be a business person's devotions for other business people.
Excellent. So I'll put that one across. And okay, so we'll go, there's that one, and copy link, go back to comments. Okay, wait a moment, an error occurred. If I can't do it right now, I'll do it after the broadcast and add it in there. But that's fine. But we've got them here. So we can there we go. That'll do. You've covered quite a bit of ground. It's great. We've talked about that we're not just pew warmers, that we do want to be trained up, and there are places that will help. We want to be trained up in how to do business as a Christian, do business as mission, but also to be encouraged within church and get equipped in moving in the gifts of the Spirit too, so that we can take those to the marketplace.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you one thing, I don't remember ever being at a Chamber of Commerce and someone was there who said, yeah, I'm here because I'm the pastor of the local such and such church and I just want to let you know I'm here for you. Wouldn't it be great if that happened?
It would be wonderful if it did.
Wouldn't
and
it be
I,
great?
I do know some people that have done things like that. You and I have a common friend that we met in Sydney that time, Jonathan Brake, who now lives in my little town in the U.S., but he describes himself as a pastor to the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I see the pastoral ministries, I see the prophetic ministries totally able to operate within the business world. They're not confined to the four walls of the church.
That's right. And I must admit, when I travel, I was in England and my beautiful host, Pastor Phil, Pastor Philip Hand of Encounter Church, I was staying with him and I said to him I wanted to go to a networking event and he came with me and he did just that.
Perfect.
So he came along and he said, well, this is what I do and what we offer. And if I can be of service to anyone for prayer or anything like that, then, you know, and I was just so pleased that. So if you're watching, Pastor Phil, thank you. You're just brilliant. And I meet the most lovely people when I travel. It's just wonderful. And so I miss traveling. So I do it by Zoom, just as you've been. But I've been able to connect with people like yourself because of the pandemic. Not everything about the pandemic is bad. It's actually expanded what we do. So I'm thrilled. And if you're watching, you can feel free to pop a comment in the chat to say g'day. And if you're watching on YouTube, please give us a like and a thumbs up and a comment and those sorts of things. That'd be really helpful. Mike Bayer, it has been brilliant to see you again and just listen to you. And I feel so encouraged as a business person because I have, you know, the business that I do that is my speaking about resilience, change and leadership to the marketplace. And there is also, and that's a ministry, even though there's, you know, I can't preach Jesus from the platform, but I meet people and talk to them anyway. And then there is the actual ministry of equipping people to be able to, you know, to be strong and to be able to go out there. And that's what you're doing. You've done both as well. So I feel like I've been chatting with a kindred spirit. We're allowed to say kindred spirit. Is that?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that one, is it?
No, we say that.
You're good with that one? Yeah, good. Not an evil spirit, a kindred spirit. So bless you, my brother. And I just pray that God just expands your influence. And if you are thinking about Christian business or you are in business or even a 2IC and you would like more guidance on doing that well, then jump onto Amazon and look for those books and also look at Third Path Initiative. .com and browse through the courses there because they will equip you. And it's good to be equipped when you're out there on the front line as you are. Yeah. So Mike Bayer, thank you so much for coming in on to the Trish Jenkins Ministries and talking with us today. It's been wonderful.
Hi, it's been great to see you again. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
I know. It's great. Great anniversary. All right. Bless you, everybody. See you next time.
Goodbye. Thanks, Trish.